Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 through 11. When John heard in prison that the Messiah, what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is coming, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, and the leopards are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised. The poor have good news brought to them, and blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks. You may be seated. So, about 3 years ago, I was sitting in the living room of some friends of mine in Auburn, and we were just talking, catching up with one of our friends who had come down from Atlanta to visit. And so we were talking, and they knew that I was single at the time, and just out of nowhere, the husband says, "Hey, we need to set Reed up with this girl that we know." And so I'm sitting there listening, and I just tell him, "Okay, that's fine." But he had a caveat. He said, "We're not going to show you a picture. We'll connect with her and give her your phone number if that's okay with you. And we're going to make this truly like a blind date." And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, okay, why not? What is it going to hurt? And so he does describe this individual and tells me a little bit about her personality. And I'm like, okay, sounds good. And a week goes by. We then connect through texting each other and set up a meet. And we don't really know what we're looking for or who we're looking for. And so I'm standing in this restaurant or outside this restaurant in Opelika looking at every girl who is coming past like, well, is that her or is that her? Because I really had nothing to go by, wondering who it was that I was waiting for. And then she comes and she says, are you Reed? And I was like, yes, I am. You must be Mary Catherine. And so we begin to sit down and to talk and I don't know what I was expecting in that moment, but she was not the person I was expecting. Very nice girl. There was no chemistry there, so it only lasted about 2 dates. But in my head, when I'd heard the description of this individual, I was thinking to myself, oh, this must be the way she's going to act. This must be who they're talking about in terms of personality. And that wasn't her. My expectations was not what the reality was. So today in our scripture, we see John kind of questioning, who is Jesus? Is Jesus really the Messiah that we're waiting for? Is Jesus the one that it is written? And so he's sitting in prison and he hears all of what Jesus has done and he sends his disciples out to go and to ask Jesus. Now, when I was taking my Judaism class at Alabama in undergrad, we had a rabbi professor who was fantastic and described to us the characteristics that the Jewish community were looking for when they were waiting for the Messiah, okay? Now, there are 7 that he listed that day, and out of the 7, Jesus maybe would have fit into three or four of them. I don't know how many of you read the beginning of Matthew, where Matthew goes through this lineage that connects David to Jesus. That's one of the characteristics, that the Messiah is going to come out of the house of David. It is thought that the Messiah is going to be a very charismatic person, and that one is a little more to opinion, but I think it's safe to say that Jesus was a charismatic leader. But there's one in particular that Jesus did not fit at all. The Jewish community believed that the Messiah was going to be this king who was going to rule over the nations, who was going to come and unite and bring peace. And that was going to be this war leader, this great warrior who was going to unite all of the tribes of Israel. Now, in my reading of Jesus, he's not exactly a war hero. He's not someone who's going and uniting people through war and through takeover. And so that's where the questioning began. And there are a couple of other characteristics that Jesus did not meet, and one that hasn't been met at all up to this point. But the Jewish community had this picture of who the Messiah would be, what they would be doing, and how they would look. And so we see this questioning, even by John the Baptist, who was there to prepare the way of the Lord. So as John's disciples are going to Jesus and asking Jesus, are you the Messiah that we are waiting for, or is it another that we should be waiting for? Jesus does his typical Jesus answer and doesn't give us one. It's not a yes or a no, but rather Jesus talks about how the blind are able to see, the deaf can hear, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised. And if we really think about what Jesus is saying in this moment, and we think about those communities that Jesus is speaking about, the deaf, the blind, those who are affected by leprosy, they are usually looked upon as outsiders, people that don't matter or that have something wrong with them. They're individuals that people want to stay away from because they're scared that they're going to be infected as well. And yet Jesus is going and being in community and healing and doing miraculous events that, when a person's no longer blind, that illness where people are afraid to be around that individual, others now are okay. They are united back into the community. When the leprosy is cleansed, they're no longer having to stay out in a community all by themselves. They can come into the community that told them no. Jesus is saying right here that there's nothing wrong with those individuals, and it is healing them so that others will know that they are just like any other person. He's uniting people together, which is a little different from what the Jewish community expected, but is exactly what the Jewish community thought, in such a different, more powerful way, showing that no person is better than any other, showing that there is hope to all. Jesus does a lot of interesting, kind of questionable to the Jewish community events. But what Jesus is doing is making sure that every single person has that presence of God within them, and being an example so that others too know that the King of Kings, this great Prince of Peace, this Messiah that we are waiting for, is for each and every person and is uniting each and every person that accepts Christ Jesus. Today, as we wait and we are anticipating the arrival of Christ Jesus in our lives, we have to remember that the Jesus that we are waiting for, that we are anticipating, may not be the Jesus that we expect. It may not be the Jesus that shows up in our lives. Because God and Jesus, they're so much bigger than we are. They can show up in people that we may not expect. Because as the scripture goes on, we see Jesus talking about John the Baptist and how great John is, and how John was preparing the way for Christ. But as it continues, Jesus has a line that I really think sums up Christ. "Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." So Jesus is there talking about how great John the Baptist is, how John was this prophet who was coming to prepare the way for Christ, but then says, "The least of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is greater than he." He's continuing to show and to communicate with us that the kingdom of God is for each and every person. No matter what the circumstances are within their lives, that kingdom is just as much for them as it is for you and I sitting here today. And that Christ could be working through those individuals so that we may see better of what God's will is, so that we may gain hope through their circumstances. Or if we can be like John and we can prepare the way so that Christ can work in an individual's lives that maybe Christ has been trying to work inside, and for whatever reason, that individual has not opened up their heart to Christ. For us to be a community that lets everyone know about what is coming, but for us to be a community as we are letting everybody know what is coming, admitting that we don't actually know how Christ may come into our lives. That it's different for each and every person. And it may not fit our expectations, but letting people know of that Christ that we are waiting for, anticipating the hope that is coming into the world, anticipating that joy that we gain through Christ, opening up our hearts and our minds so that we don't miss it, so we don't miss that Christ that is coming. Because the Jewish community, John the Baptist himself, who was the prophet that was coming to prepare the way for Christ, was not sure that Jesus was the Messiah, had to go and send his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one we are waiting for?" And so if John, the one who was to go and to prepare a way for Jesus, was not even sure himself, we can't expect that we are going to recognize Jesus in that moment unless we open up our hearts, open up our minds, and realize that Jesus can work in so many different ways, and that Jesus can work in any individual that is here on earth. That the kingdom is for all. That the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John, who was coming to prepare the way for Christ, who some thought was Christ. So as we continue through this Advent season, continue to anticipate the arrival of Christ Jesus, let us always have our hearts open to receive Christ in ways we may not expect. Let us not have our minds wrapped around what we think Christ should look like or how Christ should work in the world, but have an open mind so that we can go where Christ is, so that we can help build Christ's kingdom now, so that we know that Christ can come in so many different forms, that Christ is ever present in our lives and in the lives of so many. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just ask that you continue to open up our hearts and our minds so that we may receive Christ in whatever form that Christ shows up in our lives, so that we may help others see Christ in times that maybe they don't expect it, but in times where they need Christ, where we need Christ. Because we know that through Christ, we have hope. Through Christ's resurrection, we have hope. So help us show that hope to all that we encounter. But help us see that hope within our own lives. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.